John chapter number one, we looked last week, we had met John the Baptist as he was making the path straight for the Lord and really ushering in the coming of Christ into the world. And today we're going to see as Jesus begins to start his earthly ministry. And so look with me in John chapter one, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 35, John chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today. And God, we just want to give glory and honor to your name. And Lord, giving us another day to be able to come and worship you, the true and living God. And God, as we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're seeing people that are meeting Jesus for the first time. And we see others that are inviting and introducing them to him. And God, I pray that today, Lord, you would help us, each of us that know you, to be those type of people that are pointing others to you. Lord, we know that you're the answer to all of our needs. And God, I pray you'd help us today to keep our eyes focused solely on you. God, I pray by the Holy Spirit, that through your word, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts today. And God, we'll give you the glory for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage today, we're going to see a couple of things. We're really going to see three different people and introducing or inviting folks to come and know Jesus Christ. And the first one we see is John the Baptist. Look there in verse 35. It said, "And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Like we talked about last week, John the Baptist was a very popular individual. He has already went out in the wilderness and began preaching, and his message was to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. And we know that his job was to make the path straight for the Lord, and he was doing that, and he had developed quite a following. Even in this passage here today, we see that he's standing there with two of his disciples, two of his followers. And the reality for us today is this, that every one of us here have people within our circles, we have people within our life, that we have the ability to influence. Just as John the Baptist had these two men who were standing near, you have those people as well. And I know today you might not feel like a John the Baptist character, and maybe we don't have hundreds of people or thousands of people or whatever it might be, but we nonetheless have some folks in our life that we can influence, whether it be our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, those that are within our circle. You see, they know us. They know our credibility. They know our motives. They know our character. And those are the people that we need to focus on influencing in our lives. Those are the people that we need to be pointing to Jesus Christ. Now, also, I would say this, and it does bother me. I'm not going to say it doesn't bother me. It does bother me. There are some people that I cannot have an influence over. There are some people that And if truth be known, we've messed up with some people through our lives. You know, I've said some things to people in my past, and listen, they're not going to come to church here, okay? They know me from the past. They remember things I've done. I might have hurt someone or done these things, and we've lost that influence with them. But what I would say to you today is those that we've lost the influence on, that situation, but focus on the ones that I can. Focus on the ones that I can. Who are those people in your life that God has put there for this time and this moment so that you can point them to Jesus? Another thing we see in verse 36, it said about John the Baptist and looking upon Jesus as he walked. John the Baptist was already looking to Jesus. If you remember last week, they came to John and said, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" He said, "I'm not the Christ." They said, "Are you that great prophet?" He said, "I'm not that great prophet." Are you Elijah or Elisha or who? He said, "I'm not any of those." They said, "Well, then who are you?" He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness to make straight the paths of the Lord." John had his eyes fixed on Jesus. Man, when Jesus came on the scene there, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and ends up baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ." John's eyes were fixed on Jesus Christ and he was looking to him. And I'm going to tell you this today, if we're going to point other people to Jesus, we need to be looking to him in our own lives. We oftentimes point people to what we're already looking at. We talk about what we're already looking at, and we need to be looking to Jesus. You know, I would ask you that question today as we've come and gathered. I would say, where are you looking at today? Who are you looking to for your purpose, for your passion, for your peace? Because it has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't need to look at my career. I don't need to look at my possessions. I don't need to look to those things for my worth and who I am in Christ. I have to find it in Jesus Christ. By the way, I shared with them in drive-up service this morning. Let me tell you what I know. Me and Brother Russell talked about it this morning in men's prayer. You know, we're on the Thanksgiving season. It's upon us. Not this upcoming week, but the following week will be Thanksgiving, and then we have Christmas. And the holiday season is a great time. We love that, but it's also a hard time for a lot of people in our church, in our community, in the world. Not only do we have great memories, but sometimes people during the holidays get sad and they think about those that aren't there anymore or whatever that is. And also in this year, did y'all know that 2020 has been a tougher year than normal? Have y'all heard that? It's been a different year, okay? And I know with the election and all that that's going on, hey, here's the reality. If you watch a lot of news, and if you watch a lot of social media, can I tell you what they're going to bombard you with? They're going to shove down your throat fear and anxiety. That's all they're going to give you. Fear and anxiety. Things are going to get worse. Things are bad. Things are bad and they're not getting better. And man, who knows what's going to happen? And I do want y'all to know, y'all know the news is no longer the news. It's a TV show. And it's about ratings and it's about clicks. And how many people can I get to click and watch and all that? It's now entertainment. And we need to get our eyes off of that and get our eyes on Jesus. Because I want you to know He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still the same as He's always been. He has not changed today. He's not influenced by the concerns that we have. You know, I was listening to a guy yesterday, a preacher, talking about the church and where we're at today. And he said, the things that we're going through today are really what has been normal for the church for 2,000 years. He said, we just went through a long stretch where things were really, really good. He said, and now, man, something happens, some little bad thing happens, and we get all up in arms. But the reality is we've seen this a long time. And so where are you looking to for your peace. And it needs to be Jesus. Where are your eyes at today? They need to be fixed on Him. You know, I think about Peter. Y'all remember that story about Peter walking on water in the Scriptures? There the disciples are, and a storm is raging. The disciples are on a ship, and the waves are crashing down. And Jesus walks out on the water, and they see Him. And Peter says, "If it's you, bid me to come out there to you." And Peter goes and walks out on water and does the supernatural. He does what you can't do. And when he goes out there, he takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts looking at the waves and the wind and the storm, and he begins to sink. I want you to know, Peter's circumstances didn't change. He got out and did supernatural things in those circumstances. What changed was his focus. His focus got off of Jesus and it got on his problems, and he realized, wait a minute, I'm out in the water. And wait a minute, the winds and the waves and all this is going on, and he began to sink. And I'm just here to tell you, get your eyes off of your circumstances and get your eyes off your problems and get your eyes off all of that and get your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Then he says this in verse 36. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He told them to look on Jesus. You know what it means for Jesus to be the Lamb of God today? It means a couple of things. It means that, number one, He's our atonement. He paid. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He's the Lamb of God. I heard or seen a quote by Paul Tripp. He's a famous Presbyterian preacher in America today. He said, "Those that are closest to me are not impressed with my righteousness, because it's not there, it's found in Christ." And I think we could all agree that those closest to us are not impressed with how righteous and great we are. Our righteousness is found in Christ. And that's what it means. He is our atonement. When He sees us, when God sees us when we're in Christ, He doesn't see us as we are. He sees us in the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says that He who knew no sin, Jesus, became our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He is the atonement for our sins. And He's also, for those of us in Christ, He's our advocate. We know that the enemy, the liar, the deceiver, he's the accuser of the brethren, that the devil is going to come and accuse us. And by the way, I got bad news today. A lot of what the devil could accuse me of, he's probably not lying. He could say, "Man, Derek's not as faithful as he needs to be. He's not as good as he ought to be. He doesn't have as much peace and love and joy as he should have." And I'd have to say, "You're right. I'm not." And Jesus would have to step in as my advocate and say, "You're right. He is a fallen sinner." As it said in Ecclesiastes, as we read in our reading calendar last week, there's none that does good and that is without sin. That's all of us. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's who Jesus is for us. And we got to point people to Him. And it says in verse 37, "And the two disciples heard Him speak and they followed Jesus." Man, we go back to that classic scripture that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. John just points them to Jesus. They knew Him. He had an influence over them, and he points them to Him, and they begin to follow Jesus. John the Baptist introduced these folks to Jesus Christ. Now, my question to you is who are you introducing to Jesus? Because we got people in our life, and listen, I believe in this. Listen, I've told y'all, if it's just me, if Christ is not a part of my life, I wouldn't care if I ever met another person. I could go home today. I got enough friends. I don't need another one. I don't need to meet another person. I could go home and live my life out and be completely fine. But because of Jesus Christ, you know what I got to do? I have to intentionally meet people and befriend people. Why? Not because I need more friends, but because I need people to introduce to Jesus. You see, here's what church people do. And this is a problem with some of y'all. Church people will say this: "All my friends already go to church. And I get it. You get in church and you start, your friends are those at church and all that. You say, well, my friends are I already go to church. And y'all know what's coming. Y'all know what I'm about to say. You got to get some more friends. You got to meet some more people that don't go to church, that don't know Jesus. And we got to be introducing them to Him. I'm thankful for my kids playing ball, because when we play Little League ball, you know what it does every year? It brings a bunch of new families and parents around me that I can meet and get to know, and I can introduce them to Jesus. I can't tell you how many people through the years, through our kids, go playing ball that I can introduce them. And by the way, folks, your kids go to school. They have new classmates. They have new parents. They have new things. Do you know everybody that lives on your street? Do you know everybody that lives right around you? Do you know everybody that works in your office or with you? You got to meet some people for the intentional purpose. You see, I got an agenda. I'm not trying to hide it today to y'all. My agenda is meet people. Not because I need friends, but because they need Jesus. And I need to be able to introduce them to Him. Now, here's what happens. Jesus looks back. They're following Jesus. It said in verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following. He said, what seek ye? They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And He said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. These guys just saw Jesus walking and they just started following Him. Hadn't talked to Him, hadn't met Him, they just following Him. And here's what the Bible says. It says that anybody that's going to come to God must first believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want you to know today that if you'll just start, that they haven't talked to Him, hadn't made an agreement, they just started following Him. And I want you to know today, if you'll just start following Him, you don't need to get your life together before you start following Him. You don't need to become a Bible scholar before you start following Him. You don't need to fix everything that's wrong with your life before you start following Him. What you need to do is you need to just start following Him. You know what the Bible says? That He will reward you that are diligently seeking Jesus Christ. Man, we sing that song and listen, we don't say come just as you are to stay that way, but we do say come just as you are because that is where it begins. Jesus is going to take you where you are and love you where you are, and He's going to lead you to the future that you can have. But if you think you can fix yourself or you need to fix yourself before you come to Christ, that is a lie of the devil that keeps many from never coming. And so they just started following Him, and so should we. And then Jesus takes notice of them and asks a question that I want to ask you today. Jesus said, what seek ye? What are you seeking today? I wonder that about us. We all got up today and came to church. And my question is, what are you seeking today? What are you looking for? What do you want to get out of this? Why'd you come? And I get it. We've all before got in the rut and the monotony and the habit of church. And can I also testify today, pretty good rut and monotony and habit to be in, okay? If you're saying, man, I'm just in the rut of going to church, that's a whole lot better than the rut of not going. Because when you come, even if you got up this morning, and listen, we all know. Listen, in my house, we see the realities of life. We have 7 children, and we get up, and I hate it sometimes, you know, but we get up, and I try to have prayer with them. Half of them are probably still asleep. And then it can turn into Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, you know, right after that. I understand that. And look, it's tough. I'm not saying everybody got up this morning with heaven on their mind. All right. I understand there's all kind of other stuff going on. But you need to come here and you need to say, this is what you need to do. You need to come in. You're already here. You can't worry about the laundry that has to be done. You can't worry about what you got to cook when you get home. You can't worry about getting ready for Monday. You're here. You can't do anything about those things now. What you need to do is say, I'm the most needy person here. I got a lot of needs. I got a lot of problems. And if you don't think you got problems, if we started peeling back the onion on all of our lives, we got some issues up in here, okay? And you need to say, I'm here to hear from God. His word is opened. And something is going to be said today that is for me. And I'm going to focus on that, and I'm coming to get... When people tell me they're not getting anything out of the messages, or they say, I read the Bible and I don't get anything out of it, y'all do know the problem is not God's word, right? The problem is not God. The problem is how we are approaching it. And what we need to do is we need to approach it in such a way that I am seeking God to speak to me. I want to hear from Him. And you just have to seek it and God will reward you. But the question is, what are you seeking today? And they said, we want to see where you live. And in verse 39, Jesus invites them and He says, come and see. I want you to know today that that invitation that Jesus gave to them to come and see where I live, come and see what I'm about, come and see what I got going on, that invitation is open to everyone right here today on November the 15th, 2020 in Oak Grove Baptist Church. Jesus says to every one of you, come and see. You want to see what I'm about? Come and see. You want to come see where I live? You want to see what the Christ life is about? Come and see. And they went and they lived with Him for a day. They stayed with Him for a day, I should say. See what He's about. Listen to Him. Hung out with Him. Now, here's what I also know. It really isn't hard to get people to come and see. It's really not hard. It's not that hard to attract a crowd. Because Jesus is pretty intriguing to me. I mean, He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the creator of the universe. He is the one who I can serve, and the things I do matters for eternity. And we've been here for 14 and a half years, and we've had a lot of people come and see. Okay? But let me tell you what you're gonna find. Being intrigued is one thing. Being captivated is one thing. But the reason why some people come and they don't stay, the reason why some come for a day and leave, and we've seen them come, they get excited on Sunday and they ain't back on Monday. I've told y'all this story countless times, but I had somebody call me one time, weeping and sobbing and telling me how great God is and what God did in their life. And I said, and I knew the person, I said, well, I mean, praise the Lord, right? And he said, man, I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to be all these things. And he said, I want to share with the church what God's done for me. And I said, well, good. I said, hey, why don't you just come to church faithfully for a little while? And then I would love for you to tell the church what you were doing. He didn't even show up that Sunday. Hadn't ever been back, right? The problem is people can get real excited, but let me tell you a hard truth today. Being a follower of Christ is impossible without Christ. You can't live the Christ life without the help and power of Jesus Christ. Many have tried and they've all failed. And when I try, I fail. Today, the answer for all of you is not try harder. The answer is surrender more. That's the answer. What you got to do tomorrow is you got to wave the white flag in your life to Jesus, just like you can't save yourself. The just shall live by faith. And you got to say, I can't live this life today. I can't forgive people that have hurt me. I can't get rid of the bitterness. I can't overcome the anger. I can't overcome the anxiety. I can't do it. Can't do it. Unless you get the help of God. And I think about Jesus, man, the young guy that come and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, you better make sure you want to follow me. Because the foxes have holes and the birds have nests and I don't have nowhere to lay my head. And what Jesus was telling them is this, this is not an easy thing. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it was easy, the churches would be full and people would be living glorious, victorious Christian lives. But the reality is, it's a spiritual battle. And so when you come and see what it's really about, you're going to see that it is not easy and that without Christ, you cannot do it. And so, but here's the good news. With Christ, you can. And as the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with God, it's impossible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And so you can do it. You just have to turn your eyes to Him and surrender to Him. Then it said this in verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. One of the two guys that was following John the Baptist and left and followed Jesus was a guy named Andrew. And Andrew goes on to become one of the 12 apostles. Okay? And he follows Christ. And the first thing he did was he went and found his brother Simon, who would later become known as Peter, who would write books of the Bible, who would preach on Pentecost, and he brings him to Jesus. Now, I do want you to know, a sign of being a follower of Christ is that we find others and invite them to Christ. It's called disciple making. We ought to be making disciples. We ought to be bringing people to Christ. And Andrew first went and found his own brother. I do know that family can be some of the toughest for us to minister to and lead. But I think he went to his brother Simon Peter because he was close to them. And I would just ask you, who are those people that are close to you, you know, that are not in church, aren't following Christ, might be lost, that you can go and invite? But then I want to show you this. It said in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. We live in a very selfish culture. I don't know if you know that. It's more self-absorbed than it's ever been. And for the church, here's the problem. It used to be where people would serve and they would give of themselves and they would do all these things. Here's my question to you today. Are you willing to be inconvenienced to bring someone to Christ? And the reality is, most of us don't want to be inconvenienced. And I get it. My time is valuable. I always tell people I can make more money. I can't make more time. And so my time is valuable. But we have to be inconvenienced. Sometimes we might have to bring them to Jesus. Sometimes I might have to go out of my way. Sometimes I might have to reach in my pocket. Sometimes I might have to put off what I want to do to serve them. And Andrew not only invited him or told him about it, he brought him to Jesus. Invite somebody to church and say, come with me. Come and sit with me. And hey, you could come eat at our house after church, or we'll go out to eat after church, or hey, I'll come get you, and hey, we can study the Bible on our own, and if you got questions, we can do all that. Are you willing to be inconvenienced? We're willing to do things that's not a bother. But what does the Scripture say on all this stuff where Jesus would bring up all these examples and he'd say, if you're willing to do it when it's not a bother, big deal, everyone's willing to do that. Everyone's willing to do things that's not a bother. But are you willing to be bothered? Are you willing to be put out? Are you willing to open up your life for the cause of Christ? And the reality is, and by the way, when you do that, and look, we know it's not just about words, it's about actions. When you're inconvenienced for Jesus and you open yourself up for ministry, people are going to let you down. People are going to hurt you. People are going to use you. And you know what you got to do? You got to do good anyway. You got to say, that's fine. That's part of the deal. And I'm doing it for the cause of Christ. If we all quit every time we were used, misused, and abused, nobody'd be here today. But we got to keep on going. And then Jesus changes Simon's name. When he saw him, he said, you're Simon, son of Jonah, but from now on you're going to be called Cephas or Peter, which is interpreted a rock. He meets Peter and says, you are going to be a stone. You're going to be a foundation upon which the church will be built. And Andrew, if you look at his life, Andrew never brought thousands to Christ. Andrew never got to preach on Pentecost and all those things. We don't have the book of Andrew in the Bible. But Andrew's the one that brought Peter to Christ. And Peter preached on Pentecost. And Peter brought thousands to Christ. And Peter wrote books of the Bible. You might not be the preacher or the pastor or the singer of songs or the Sunday school teacher, but you might bring the one to Christ who might be those things. I think about the person who brought Billy Graham to Christ. And man, they didn't go preach the Crusades, but they're the ones who introduced Billy Graham to Jesus. And Andrew was the one who brought the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to Jesus. Said, hey, we got a lad here. It's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus took it and did a miraculous thing. And so we might not be the one in the spotlight. And we might not be the one who gets the accolades. But what we can be is the one who's bringing somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at our passage today, we saw John the Baptist introducing people to Jesus. We saw Jesus inviting people, come and see. Come and see where I live. Come and see what I'm about. And then decide for yourself. And then we saw Andrew inviting and inconveniencing himself so that others could know. I stand before you today, 2,000 years after this story was told, and you know what I want to do? I want to invite you to know Jesus. I want you to invite you I want to introduce you to the one that changed my life. He changed my life. He took it on one trajectory and put it on another. It changed my family's life. Everything about me has been changed because I know the Lord Jesus Christ and I follow Him. It hadn't been perfect. I have made plenty of mistakes. I will make plenty more. But I've never been the same. Everything I do, every day I get up, I get to do things that matter for all eternity. You can too. You can too. I invite you to know Him. And then I challenge those of us that are followers of Christ. If you say He's changed your life, is He that big a deal? Is He God? Is He your Savior? He's the one I'm counting on for all eternity. Who are you introducing to Jesus? Who are you inviting to know Him as well? Ask God to do this. Say, God, put something. And you might be, hey, honest to God, you might be sitting here and you might say, I don't know who I could invite to Christ. You just pray this prayer. Say, God, I want to introduce somebody to You. Put somebody in my way and see what happens. See what happens. See if God don't put somebody in your path that you can encourage and invite and introduce to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, it's been good to be with you this morning. Thank y'all for coming. I hope that you got a blessing from being here.